It's Colorado Matters from Colorado Public Radio. I'm Ryan Warner. Ellen Danick is an entrepreneur with a job straight out of Willy Wonka. She makes handcrafted salted caramels in Lakewood. The idea of ditching a corporate job to pursue a passion, as she did, is something a lot of people dream of. But it's challenging to grow a food business big when you're promising treats made by hand. CPR's Elaine Grant visited Danick at her business, Helly May's Salted Caramels, to see how she's able to make more and more caramels in this, her second holiday season. Danick described these tiny treats.
We make small batch handcrafted caramels with a ton of organic pastured butter and cream that are super dark, super intense, a little bit bitter, and most of them have salt in them.
Oh my God, that sounds so good. Now, you're a corporate refugee, right?
That's a great way to put it. My background is absolutely not in food. The only training I have is that I like to cook and I have a wooden spoon. I come from technology. I worked at a large technology company. I worked at a consulting firm. I've just always really liked to eat and liked to cook. And after years of sort of pining to be in the food business, 2 years ago, my husband was tired of hearing the pining and told me to try to sell these caramels.
Show us how it works. What's a step that you can show us today?
Oh, absolutely. So, you know, it starts by making the caramels and cooling them off. And then what we do is either pop them out of silicone molds. We started by making really big caramels, or we roll a slab of caramel to a uniform thickness and then cut it using these 60-year-old wrapping and cutting machines that we bought this summer. So I can show you that if you'd like.
Yeah, please.
Okay, let me turn the phase inverter on. We have to have special electrical for that, so it's going to be loud. Do you want a pair of gloves? You want to help roll some caramel?
Sure, I'd love to.
What we're going to do is wrap a slab of caramel in some parchment paper. And the type of caramel we're going to roll out is one called Chili Palmer. It has cinnamon and chili with a little salt. So you pop the little slab of caramel out. Take off the parchment that it was cooled in. There you go. And then the easiest thing to do is just to fold parchment over it.
Oh, I can smell that. It smells
can
a little...
Can you smell the cinnamon and the...
Yeah, and a little brown sugary smell.
Yep, that is from the sugar caramelizing. You know, the traditional way of making caramel is to cook the sugar until it turns that dark brown. We actually cook it until it's almost black because I like that dark intensity. But a lot of home recipes for caramel or even like commercially produced caramels, they use brown sugar and condensed milk to kind of emulate that flavor because it's an easier way to do it. We don't do that here. All right, so we're going to go to this roller machine right here, turn it on, and then pop the caramel through.
This is an interesting machine. It looks really old.
It is really old. It was made in France in the mid-1950s. It's definitely mechanical. There aren't any computerized parts on this. And you can even see there's not really any plastic. I love the fact that it's this gorgeous butter yellow. This is the one machine that never acts up. So it has a special place in my heart. It's simple. It just rolls the caramel and it does a great job of that.
Okay.
So what you do, just keep your fingers clear of the roller. Push down and just pop it on through. There you go.
Oh, it goes fast.
Yeah, it's really fast. That gets the caramel to kind of a uniform thickness. So like I said, when it's cut up, it's the size you expect it to be. You know how I was saying that the roller never misbehaves? This is a great example of kind of the challenge of scaling up from hand production to using some equipment. It's solid and beautiful and all that, but it goes down about 20% of the time. A blade will bend or something will get off track and you have to stop and take the entire machine apart to try to fix it. This is the first time I've used it this morning. We'll see if it cuts the caramel. If not, you guys will have snacks to take home.
All right.
Now, I will offer you the opportunity to push this through, but with those wicked-looking blades, you might want to let me do it.
I think I'll let you do it.
All righty. So you see it cut the caramel into long, thin strips that are all the same size.
Yeah.
Now, I'll just pivot it 90 degrees and pop it through the cutter again, and then we'll have perfect little squares.
Very nice. And how many little pieces of caramel do you have there?
I don't know, maybe 100, 150.
Okay.
Yeah. We do all of our production in 5-pound batches, which for the little tiny caramels yields 2-2.5-pound slabs. Uh-huh. So when I say we're small batch, I'm not kidding.
One of the things I'm really curious about is you started this, what, you were making caramels in your kitchen, you're growing. I mean, when you first started, you didn't have a rolling machine, presumably, right? How were you doing it from the very beginning, and what's changed along the way?
You know, a lot has changed. We've been very mindful as we grow that we don't want to lose what makes our product special. But by adding some equipment that allows us to do little bite-sized caramels, we're not spending all of our time cutting. Because we're not spending the effort on that, we can do things like develop new flavors.
Do you want to show us the wrapper?
I really want to show you the wrapper.
All right, let's do it.
Okay, let's do it. This is the most complicated piece of equipment we have. It was built in 1956 in France, and you can actually run it manually. There's a knob here that you just turn.
There's this big wheel. It's like a steel steering wheel on it, or like a ship's wheel.
Exactly, like what you'd find on a ship.
And you can see all these gears. It's like being in a museum watching gears shift and move through the glass case.
Absolutely. So our very high-tech setup involves putting a big bucket on a stool to catch the caramels so they don't run all over the floor. So let's pop some in here.
So you're putting them in... It's almost like a Lego set, kind of.
It does kind of look like that, doesn't it? Because there's this spinning disc with recessed wells that are sized exactly right for these caramels. We'll start wrapping. So here's our first wrapped caramel.
Oh, wow.
It's very Willy Wonka.
It really is just like Willy Wonka. These things are just sliding down a little chute into this plastic bucket, and they're all wrapped and twisted. And
if I get distracted and fall behind, it will quickly turn into the episode of I Love Lucy at the candy factory where I can't keep up.
Oh, really? What happens if you get distracted? They just start spitting out all over the place?
Or it will just pop out wrappers that don't have any caramels in them, which is disappointing. But this is what they look like.
They're beautiful.
Yeah, you can see they're like these tidy little bundles and so pretty. And you can see the striations on the side of the candy, which is from where the little rubber pads have held onto it as it goes around the Ferris wheel.
So let me ask you this. You've described, it sounds like you want to grow pretty big, but on the other hand, you're specializing in handcrafted sweets.
Well, from the beginning, I've had this image in my mind that what I wanted to do with Helly Maze was have a range of intensely flavored foods that had complexity. You know, you can find hot sauce that has a single note that blows your head off, but in terms of things that are really intense and really complex, I have a hard time finding that. So from the beginning, that's what I wanted Helly Maze to do. And I started with sweets because it was what I knew about and what I was good at. And so I think for me, a big part of it is knowing where I want to get to in 5 or 10 years. I want Helly Maze to have this portfolio of products that people who really prefer strong flavors can get access to either online or in small specialty stores. And I want us to be an employer with 50 or 100 people who have good jobs that they like, that pay a decent wage, that they want to go to.
50 to 100 people.
Yeah, that's my goal.
And
Now I have one full-time employee and I have 5 part-timers who help us out, plus me, plus my husband. And so for me, it's how do you get from here to there, and how do you do that in a thoughtful way so that you don't flame out and go under? How do you make sure that you don't make promises you can't keep and set yourself up for demand you can't meet? So we've been very methodical the whole time. And for Helly Maze, it's about being as business focused as possible, you know, within this context of having a really fun food business.
So what's your favorite one?
Originally, my favorite caramel was the cardamom caramels because I love the warm, floral, kind of peppery nature of cardamom, and I also feel like it doesn't get enough attention in the spice world. I think cinnamon is like this attention hog. Look at me, I'm cinnamon. Cardamom has a lot to offer. So that was originally my favorite, but when we brought out the chili Palmer caramels at Valentine's Day this year with the chili and the cinnamon, I love spicy stuff. I love those too.
You called this a chili Palmer. What does it mean?
So the chili Palmer caramel is named after a character that Elmore Leonard came up with. In the movie Get Shorty, John Travolta plays chili Palmer. And early on in the movie, he puts a glove on to punch another character in the face. It's pretty funny, but it's also pretty impactful. And when I was thinking about the intensity of these caramels with the cinnamon and the chili and how it hits you, It reminded me of being punched in the head, so I named it Chili Palmer after him.
Can I try one?
Yes, absolutely. I would love it if you would.
All right. Oh my God, that is delicious.
That's the power of butterfat.
Oh, great. Well, thanks for adding that to my hips this morning.
You're very welcome.
CPR's Elaine Grant visited Ellen Danick, who owns Helly May's Salted Caramels in Lakewood. There are photos from the visit, including of that fancy French wrapping machine, at cpr.org.